It's week 14, and the newly named starting quarterback Nick Foles takes his Eagles down to Tampa Bay to face the Bucs this Sunday. Welcome to Eagles Green Zone. I'm Becky Brensinger.
And I'm Bob Bumbari. Yeah, Nick Foles, Vinnie Curry, Bryce Brown, some of the young guys that really show their potential Sunday night. We're going to talk about that coming up with Barrett Brooks and Adam Kaplan.
And later in the show, I sit down with one of those rookies, defensive end Vinnie Curry, and then we're going to touch on the Elite Eight and bracket breakdown, all here on Eagles Green Zone.
With four games remaining in the regular season, the Eagles will head to Tampa Sunday afternoon for a 1 o'clock game against the Buccaneers. And welcome to Green Zone. I'm Bob Bumbara with former NFL player and Eagle Barrett Brooks and NFL insider Adam Kaplan. And guys, the Nick Foles era has arrived, at least for the next four games. Earlier this week, Andy Reid names his rookie quarterback the starting quarterback for the remainder of this season. Adam Kaplan, the right move?
Yeah, guys, it is, because at this point, the Eagles are in evaluation mode, and the Eagles have to know what they have in Nick Foles. And I think this game against Dallas, they learned a lot. And I think it's easy when you watch that tape, and Barrett, I'm sure, has watched it already, you see a lot of good traits. He handled himself really, really well. I think that's what you look at this roster now. You get a better picture of how the young guys can perform. You take that knowledge from that tape and bring it into next season.
And what do you look to see in this upcoming game against Tampa? What can he continue to work on?
I think getting more guys involved. We talk about seven different players, but Deshaun Jackson's not there. Can they get that deeper? Getting Jeremy Maclin involved downfield. You saw that bomb, but the timing. Because Maclin was open, if he can get the timing down downfield, I think that would help. I think everything else was good. You saw the screen game. Keep doing that because it worked. They used that screen game against Dallas's aggressiveness. But this Tampa Bay defense is fast and they're physical. I know you've seen them on tape.
Absolutely. They're one of the fastest defense, most intense defenses in the league at this point. And it's really helping them because they are that fast and they understand that they're a physical type of defense. The Eagles need to settle down a little bit and understand what they're getting into when they go down to Tampa. And at the end of the day, they need a win. A victory is definitely in the cards. They can definitely go out and determine what they're going to do in the game, with a rookie quarterback, understanding what their game plan is and what their strengths are. And I think once they get that all coordinated together, they'll win this game.
Well, last week, guys, on Green Zone, you both focused on the running of running back Bryce Brown and that record-setting performance in the Carolina game. Another amazing performance against the Cowboys. Two touchdowns, over 160 yards rushing, although he did have the costly fumble. You're hearing game announcers saying, well, Bryce may be holding the ball a little too far from his body. Is that something that can be fixed in practice with right coaching?
Oh, absolutely. He'll be one of those guys who will have to walk around with the ball, have to sleep with the ball, and if he doesn't have a ball in his hand, rest assured one of those veteran guys will make him get a ball in his hands. And at the end of the day, you don't want to get that stigma about yourself. You might have to fumble. It comes with playing a little more in the NFL, understanding the type of athletes you're going to be playing against. And he has to understand, he didn't play that much football last year. So he'll get it. He'll learn it. He'll be all right.
When I was watching Bryce Brown run, I started thinking about what about him and Shady in the backfield together. And it got me thinking about Thunder and Lightning back from the mid-90s, right? Ricky Waters, Charlie Garner. You think that's a possibility in the future, that the Eagles could use those two guys kind of in tandem in a future backfield?
Well, Brown has 3 years left on his rookie deal after the season, so there's a way you can do it. And we already know now he's a number two running back. That's not the issue. The issue is you've got McCoy signed long term. You have to justify playing him because you're paying him a lot of money. But this kid Brown is so talented, there's got to be sort of like a happy medium between the two. How do you do it? Because they both have contrasting running styles, completely different, which is a good thing. But how do you get Brown involved when McCoy is healthy? It's a tremendous challenge. It's a good problem for a coaching staff to have, but I'll be honest with you, it will not be easy because McCoy's got to play.
Well, there were two bits of big news coming out of the Eagles this week. Of course, Nick Foles being named the starting quarterback for the remainder of the season, and Jim Washburn, the defensive line coach, gets fired. Initial thoughts about that?
The wide nine has just not worked like everyone would have hoped. So I think you're probably, not only will you see less of it, I think you're going to see some of those younger players continue to play, like Vinnie Curry, like Brandon Graham is playing very well. And again, it's back to the evaluation mode. Let's get an idea of who these guys are. And also Philip Hunt, who was, you know, he's a young player, and I don't think he was one of Washburn's guys, and I think now he gets to come back on the field. Hunt was phenomenal in the preseason. Great offseason. This kid has been very good for them, but he was a low man on the totem pole. Now he only played 7 snaps. I think he'll play more going forward.
Barrett Brooks, Adam Kaplan, and you guys mentioned Vinnie Curry. Our own Becky Brenziger has more on the rookie Eagles defensive end.
Vinnie Curry is joining us today, and Mr. Flea himself. Flea is your nickname. You know, where did that come from?
You know, it's just a nickname that I always had, and once I got to Marshall, it really blew up, and everybody that I hung with called itself a Flea, so mine is Mr. Get Flea and Nature Boy Flea, because I'm a big Ric Flair fan.
What does Flea stand for, or what's its meaning, really?
Oh, it just stands for a fly, like, each and every day. You know, I like the style, I like the dress, and stuff like that in that nature. And then it just blew up from there.
And it's not a surprise to anybody that you grew up as a huge Eagles fan.
Right.
But who was your favorite player?
I didn't just have one. You know, I had multiple growing up, but we could hit on one. I always wanted to be a running back, so I would say Ricky Waters. Obviously playing Power One, and you used to always want that jersey, but I was too big, so they would never let me play running back.
You had your first NFL start against the Panthers. You know, how much did patience play a role in waiting for that opportunity to come for you?
Oh, definitely. Patience has definitely played a role into the factor, because in this business, you could definitely lose your mind. You know, I'm coming from, you know, a university whereas, you know, I played my heart out for that. You know, I was always on the field. I was always the go-to guy. You know, I was our vocal leader, our team leader, you know, just the heart of the team. And then you come to the NFL, whereas you don't even step foot on the field, and you really don't know what's going on. All you know is you practicing hard. Then the OTA come, you feel like you have a good OTA, then you sprain your ankle, and then get into the preseason, and you know, you feel like you have a good preseason, and you think you're getting ready for a game, and 10 weeks later, you're still not playing. Then obviously you get ready for Carolina, so that patience is definitely a virtue that you got a standpoint, and I have learned here. You know, and I grew it, you know, because before I really didn't have good patience, but, you know, it definitely matured me and helped me grow up a lot.
Some guys in the locker room think that you may be the biggest trash talker on the team. What do you think about that?
You know, I talk a lot of trash, but, you know, like I said, it just comes from growing up, you know, watching wrestling and not a lot, and, you know, trying to mock Ric Flair and everything he does. So, you know, some of the models and some of the quotes he give out is actually good quotes to use on the football field.
What do you think is the most creative thing that you may have said on the field that could have been really funny or?
Against Carolina, you know, Steve Smith was talking trash. You know, I was like, man, it's about time for you to fill out Social Security, ain't it? You know, and he just looked at me like, man, who was you? You know, that was pretty funny. I thought it was pretty funny, but then I was, you know, I was like, dang, I hope, yeah, if I'm blessed to be still playing there, somebody don't say that to me.
Now, I know that it's just your rookie year, but, you know, thinking past football, after football, you know, if you could be something or take on some sort of profession, you know, what would it be?
I definitely would try to get into the WWE business, you
really?
Know. Yeah, I would try to become a wrestler.
Now, you mentioned that you're a huge Ric Flair fan. You know, who would you want your first match to be with?
First match to be with probably Randy Orton, because he's my favorite current wrestler right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not the only guy in the locker room that loves wrestling.
Oh, no, definitely not. You know, a lot of guys in the locker room love wrestling.
So it'd be like you and Evan Mathis, Dennis Kelly. Do you guys just kick it in the locker room and just talk wrestling all the time?
Yeah, we always talk, giving out trivia questions to each other. So it'd definitely be, you know, and I told King Dunlap, if I would be a wrestler, man, he would have to be like my bodyguard. I'd be our gimmick or something.
Now, when you put on that uniform, this, you know, aggressiveness, you know, transforms inside of you and you become a new character, I feel. And so when you put on another costume, you might become someone that, like you said, you're all too familiar with. So, I mean, why are you laughing, Vinny? What is this right here? Who is this character?
That's Ric Flair. That's Nature Boy Flea. That's the costume right there.
Whoa! Where were you at? I'm getting ready for the ball game. Because Nature Boy is going down to St. Pete's. But enough about the ball game, because tonight it is going down. Woo!
All right, Vinny, thank you for your time today. And, you know, if the fans want to support you, maybe they should just give a little woo
yeah,
in the stands. What do you think? Would
definitely.
You like that?
That would mean a lot. Thank you.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy. Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin'. And Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment. Well, it has come down to the Elite Eight, the Great Eight, and the bracket breakdown in the search for the greatest Eagle of all time. And Barrett Brooks and Adam Kaplan are back with us to take a look at last week's winners and what's coming up in this week's bracket. Adam.
Well, Bob, it was interesting because I predicted that Trent Cole might win because he's a recent player. We've always talked about on the bracket breakdown, Barrett, how the young kids, when they vote, they're going to vote for the guys who played recently.
But absolutely.
How about this? Howard Carmichael wins. Hey, the fans, you know what? They got it right, I think.
Well, Adam, talking about tough matchups, when we look at this week's bracket, we have some Hall of Famers, some all-timers, and this will not be easy.
You got Reggie White versus Donovan, Bednarik versus Cunningham. So you got two quarterbacks, two defensive players. They're all so great in their history. I mean, I'd have trouble picking them, but quite frankly, I always go with the chalk.
The best player I feel as or I've ever played against was Reggie White. I call him Mr. White. It was Mr. White on the field.
I would too.
Have a good day, Mr. White. Mr. White, could you please help me up, Mr. White? He's one of those type of
guys. Did you ever call a player other than Reggie White Mr.?
Never. I mean, he had that much of an impact on me. First of all, as a man. Second of all, as a player. He could do all things, you know. He was, you know, size, quickness, aggressiveness. He was just a great guy and a great player.
Now, you've got Concrete Charlie versus Randall Cunningham. We talked about Cunningham briefly. Unbelievable arm strength. He was good here, then became even better with the Vikings, but some of those highlight plays against the Giants, just remarkable. But Chuck Bednarik, to me, it's all about Frank Gifford. And that clothesline, he knocked him out, that got on the picture of Time and, you know, every magazine. I mean, Concrete Charlie, we're talking about one of the best defensive linemen in NFL history.
Absolutely. You know, you had a guy that was going to go out and choke people. He's one of the most aggressive guys I've ever seen in my life. You know, Even though I played my first year, with Randall, great guy. RC was a great guy. But I tell you the truth, you know, as far as being aggressive and a guy that's going to go out and just, you know, will himself to be as good as he was, he's definitely the guy.
All right, Bob, those are our picks. How can everyone vote online?
Adam, it's PhiladelphiaEagles.com/vote. Vote for your greatest Eagle of all time. Adam Kaplan, Barrett Brooks, great stuff from you guys as always. As we go from some of the mighty Eagles of the past to some of the exciting future possibilities, E-Rock breaks it down in this segment.
A wise man once said you build your team through the draft. Actually, it wasn't a wise man. I read it on a fortune cookie, but nevertheless, it's true. And while the season hasn't gone exactly the way we all had hoped, there is still one bright spot in the Eagles season. How about this rookie draft class? I mean, let's take a look at defense. First things first, with the first round pick, Fletcher Cox is a beast in the middle. He leads all rookie defensive tackles in sacks this year. In fact, he loves introducing himself to the rest of the draft class. Brandon Whedon and Robert Griffin III have both met Big Fletch and subsequently met the turf. And then he got Michael Kendricks, who won the starting strong side linebacker position after being selected in the second round. Since Kendricks won the job, opposing tight ends have only scored 4 touchdowns this year and have only gone over 70 yards 3 times. How about Brandon Boykin, 4th round pick, securing the slot and helping in the return game? Boom, right there, that's 3 rookies helping out on defense. Now you want to talk about offense, how about the quarterback, Nick Foles, 3rd round. Arizona Wildcats all-time leading passer, 3-time Pac-10 honoree, and now starting quarterback of your Philadelphia Eagles. And look, I don't know if Nick Foles is the future of the Eagles at the quarterback position, but give me a kid who's accurate, shows poise in the pocket, who can escape and extend the play with his legs, and who has a rocket arm? Yeah, I can work with that. Oh, and by the way, in case you haven't heard, Bryce Brown is legit. 178 and 169 rushing yards in your first 2 starts? Are you kidding me? The difference between Doug Martin and Bryce Brown is that we got our rookie rusher in the 7th round. The 7th round. I'll say it again. The 7th round. Throw in some Vinny Curry, drafted in the 2nd round, now seeing time at defensive end. Throw in some Dennis Kelly, now starting at right tackle. Throw in some Demaryius Johnson, undrafted rookie free agent, leading the league in punt return yardage. You're talking about 8 rookies playing right now. 8 rookies. When was the last time you had this big of a contribution from this many young players. I'll tell you what, this was a great draft class. The type of draft class that sets you up for years to come. Pretty soon this season will be a thing of the past. But if you want to know about the Eagles' future, look no further than next week. Because the future of the Eagles is on the field right now.
Few games deserve the honor of a nickname, like the House of Pain game or the Body Bag game. And even fewer are given a name by one specific play, like the Miracle at the Meadowlands. But how many games do you know that are given a nickname by using just down and distance? Eagles fans remember a miraculous play in the 2003 season that sent the Eagles to the NFC Championship. And the nickname? 4th and 26. We give you prior to the snap.
As the Eagles hurried to the line of scrimmage against the Packers during the playoffs in 2003, the odds were certainly not in their favor. What would happen next would go down in Eagles history, simply known as 4th and 26. But before we revisit that legendary play, let's take a look back at what happened prior to the snap. The Eagles had entered the playoffs that year as the number one seed and had a first-round bye. The Packers were led by an inspired Brett Favre after the death of his father late in the season. While the media was calling Green Bay the team of destiny, the Eagles were planning on changing their fortune. As the game began, it seemed the media was accurate. Green Bay would strike first, capitalizing on the first turnover of the game. After a Donovan McNabb sack and fumble, Favre went to the air on the first play and hit Robert Ferguson on this 40-yard touchdown pass. On the ensuing Eagles possession, David Akers uncharacteristically misses a 33-yard field goal attempt. The Packers marched right down the field on 6 running plays and set up the second Favre to Ferguson touchdown pass, this time from 17 yards out. The first quarter would end as the Eagles trailed 14-0 at home. The Eagles needed to answer and would do so, scoring the only touchdown of the second quarter. Deuce Staley, in his final year as an Eagle, took the shovel pass from McNabb and reached the end zone to cut the lead in half. Green Bay tried to extend their lead right before halftime by going for it on 4th and 1 from the Eagles' 1-yard line. But the Eagles' D-line stiffened as the team's number one pick in that year's draft, Jerome McDougal, and Mark Cimino stuffed Amon Green to keep crucial points off the board for Green Bay, a missed opportunity that would come back to haunt them later in the game. After a scoreless third quarter, McNabb found Todd Pinkston in the corner of the end zone on the first play of the fourth. This tied the game at 14 and set up a memorable finish. After being stopped by the Eagles inside the 5-yard line midway through the fourth, Green Bay coach Mike Sherman decided not to go for it this time on fourth down and called on Ryan Longwell to kick this chip shot field goal. With only 2 minutes left in the game and trailing by 3, Philadelphia has the ball on their own 42-yard line. After 2 incomplete passes and a sack that loses 16 yards, the Eagles are looking at fourth down and 26 yards to keep the game and the playoffs alive. Having not caught a pass all day, the outspoken Freddie Mitchell was calling for the ball to the sidelines. As the Eagles broke the huddle, they barely even got the playoff in time. McNabb, who had been sacked 8 times already in the game, dropped back, had time, and stood tall. He spotted Mitchell across the middle and connected with him as he barely got to the first down marker. As big as this play was, the game was still not over. A few plays later, Akers came back on the field and connected on this 37-yard field goal to send the game into overtime. On the Packers' first offensive play in overtime, Favre threw the ball up for grabs, and it was intercepted by Brian Dawkins, who returned it into Green Bay territory. That set up Akers again, this time for the game winner. He drilled the 31-yarder, and the Eagles beat the so-called team of destiny, which couldn't have happened without their own miracle of 4th and 26.
Eagles Green Zone is brought to you by NovaCare Rehabilitation, the power of physical therapy, Dunkin' Donuts, America runs on Dunkin', and Thomas Jefferson University Hospitals. Call 1-800-JEFF now for an appointment.
Bob, with 4 weeks left in the Eagles season, it's really encouraging to see these rookies and these young guys getting out there and making a name for themselves.
Oh, I think it's terrific to see the development of the next generation of Eagles trying to make their mark on the field
to see how they're improving, how they're generating the enthusiasm. And it's also exciting to see that we're at the Elite Eight and the greatest Eagle of all time bracket breakdown.
And fans, you still have a chance to vote, so go to philadelphiaeagles.com/vote. For Bob Bambara, I'm Becky Brensinger, and thanks for tuning in to Eagles Green Zone.
All right, Bob, those are our picks. Tell the fans how they could vote online. Yeah. I don't know. I think I'm delirious. I think I'm delirious right now. I know. You like that? Yeah. Hey now.
Well, I'm glad you asked.
I knew that was coming. All right, Bob.
Tell them what they want.
You like that? That was good.